This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. The Supreme Court heard arguments today on one of the most important issues this term or any term, whether or not prisoners at Guantanamo Bay have habeas corpus rights, and by extension, how the U.S. will prosecute prisoners caught up in the war on terror. The court discussed challenges to the Military Commissions Act, which denies the prisoners the right to have federal court review of their detention. Dahlia Lithwick was at the court this morning. She's legal analyst for Slate.com and regular here on Day to Day. Dahlia, the court is hearing two cases brought by detainees. What did their lawyer argue today?
It was interesting, Madeline. You know, for those of us who went in expecting some kind of soaring rhetorical debate about the separation of powers and presidential power in wartime and the dignity of the right, the age-old right to habeas, we were all sort of in for a surprise. This was certainly a lively romp, but it was a romp through centuries of history, the history of habeas, you know, what it was like in 1789, what was happening in the World War II cases about the POWs, and the justices just had hundreds and hundreds of these old cases at their fingertips. So it really was sort of more a history lesson than anything else. Seth Waxman, who argued on behalf of one of the two groups of detainees, he was the Solicitor General under Bill Clinton, worked very, very hard to refocus the court, both at the beginning and at the end, from all this sort of arcane precedent and cases that are hundreds of years old to the urgency of his clients, who he said have been held at Gitmo for 6 years. They've had no trials. They have no way of getting trials. And they each, quote, maintain they're innocent of any wrongdoing, end quote. So he was really trying hard to sort of say the time for all this talk of, you know, great rights of writs of habeas is over. My clients need their day in court.
And is he essentially arguing that the military tribunals Congress set up in lieu of the federal courts, that those are unconstitutional?
Well, that was one of the things he was saying. One of the things he was saying was, A, you know, the Congress and the president can't strip the courts of their power to hear these habeas claims. That's unconstitutional. But he also said, with reference to these military hearings, these combat status review tribunals, that they are not an adequate substitute for the kinds of legal due process you'd be entitled to get under a habeas statute. And he sort of went through and said these trials are essentially, he called them Kafkaesque today. You know, you've got secret evidence. You don't have a lawyer. You don't have a right to know what the evidence against you says. And so he sort of went through and said, if this is meant to substitute for some serious legal process, it's not doing the job.
And what was the response from the Bush administration?
Well, Solicitor General Paul Clement, who's argued all these cases and is so very good at them, Madeline, argued that, look, the rights that are given to these folks that we're holding at Guantanamo are not merely an adequate substitute, but they're an expansion of the rights of habeas corpus. They're not a contraction, he said. They're actually vastly more generous in terms of the rights that are given to the detainees. And he, again, kept going back to 1789, which he used as the baseline. And he also made the point, I think, quite forcefully that, look, you know, Guantanamo is not the United States. These folks are not entitled to the kinds of rights they would have if we were holding them in the country. The Chief Justice, in fact, went so far as to say that if the court were to say that we own Guantanamo such that prisoners there have constitutional rights under the American constitutions, wouldn't the Cubans think that that was an act of war?
And quickly, Dahlia, any indication where the justices are leaning?
Well, you know, it's going to turn on Anthony Kennedy, as these cases always do, and he showed some real concern about trying to find some middle ground. How do we address the concerns, these concrete concerns about how long this is taking, the standard of review, the scope of review in the Court of Appeals, without gutting the whole statute? So I think, as typically you'll hear from Kennedy, he sort of wants to find a middle ground, cut the baby, and both preserve what's good about this act of Congress, but also really answer some of the very, very pressing concerns that have become manifest after 6 years of no trials.
Dahlia Lithwick, legal analyst for Slate.com. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure.